who's your favorite fighter from the UFC?
Myself, obviously. I think Jon Jones always going to be one of them as a fighter. He's one of the best. Easy, and about Nick Diaz. I love Nick Diaz. Also Carlos Condit, obviously. Shout out to Carlos Condit. Carlos Condit, one of the best. The best thing about my job is that it is my dream.
When I was boxing, those 4 months that I was boxing, I really, really liked it. Like, I'm gonna be honest, like, I love boxing. I feel like my hands are like my number one weapon.
What's up, guys? We just finished our first interview with our first guest from the UFC, Fernando Padilla. Former Fury FC champion at the featherweight division, currently 1-1 in the UFC. He's having his third bout this Saturday at the UFC Apex Center in Vegas against Luis Pajuelo. He's your next favorite UFC fighter, and make sure you guys stay hydrated as this episode is presented by Liquid IV.
Guys, welcome. We're here with our first UFC interview with Fernando, aka El Valiente. He just said nobody calls him El Valiente. You feel like you're going to change the nickname or not? You're just going to stick with that one?
No, I mean, it's just, I have a tattoo, you know, so I have to really, really keep to it.
That is true.
I don't know. I mean, so it's my first tattoo ever. It's El Valiente. And he has the belt and it's not filled. This is supposed to be, I'm gonna win it and I'm gonna fill it up.
Nice.
That's why it's the main goal. And I mean, it was my first tattoo for like a minute, so like a lot of people really started like calling me, like my coach really, like fighting wise, he started calling me like that. But it's not like in a daily basis people is like, hey, Valiente. Since I've been fighting in the UFC, more people is like, hey, Valiente.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like the nickname, you know. But I mean, maybe he's gonna start building up. I don't know. You never know.
More fights, maybe. Get your name.
Do you get recognized in public a lot?
Nah. The times that I get really excited, though. I do get really excited. I went to a wedding a few months ago, and one of the guys over there, friends of I don't know who, and like they recognized me, and I was like, oh shit, I was just excited, you know. It was fun. There's days that I still wake up and then I'm like a little bit stressed for life and stuff, and then it's like, oh fuck, I fight for the UFC. You know, it's like, that's crazy, you know. It's a dream come true. I mean, there's just hard work never stops at the end of the day.
That is true. So we'll talk about your last fight. You fought on the UFC Noche card. How did you feel like coming out? Like, I know, like, leading up to it, you did a lot of media stuff, so I know it had to be like good, but like walking out and then seeing everybody, how did you feel about that?
It was crazy. One of my coaches expressed it the best, Romeo Danza. Mm-hmm. He said that when we came out, it was like he forgot for one second. It's like it was like the Mexican Independence Day. That like a lot of Mexicans were fighting. It was like, damn, it was like, how big is Chihuahua? You know, like, this guy, where are these guys calling him? Like, a lot of people know him because like it felt like that. I don't know if it was also like the drastic change that I was fighting against a Canadian, you know, so that I was actually Mexican and the Mexican Independence Day. But bro, he felt like I didn't, that's where I fuck it up, you know, and where I came so hyped up and I start seeing the people, I start shaking the hands, I start hearing, because the song that I put, the Cabrón de Vago, a month and a half before the fight, my roommates came with it to the room, and then they were like, hey, play that song that you put in the car. Mm-hmm. And I start hearing it. I remember I start like having just goosebumps, like really, really big goosebumps. I was like, oh, like cold and stuff. And I was singing like, that's a song.
Yeah, no, that's a good song. That's actually a good song.
And then everything that I told them in that room is like, I'm going to put that song, and I know people's going to start like singing it, you know? And everything started happening, you know, I start hearing people singing it. So I just got really hyped up. That walkout over there was like, I think everything I dreamed for, and just thinking about it, like, damn, like I'm 26 years old and
That was your first fight in like arena for the UFC, right? Because the first one was in the Apex?
Yeah, in the Apex, So yeah, that was crazy, completely different. The Apex is cold and quiet. It's like this being, it's just like being on the gym, to be honest. But yeah, this one was, that energy was there, you know?
Your family was there? Your whole family was there?
Just my mom and my dad.
Just your mom and your dad?
both fights, mom, my dad, and when it comes to my family, auntie and uncle were there too. They live here in the United States, and they were there.
So your parents live in Mexico?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and they came. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, my family just, but my mom, my dad is crazy. He likes to be here and he likes to support me. I think he's my biggest supporter ever. So like, I respect that.
And then I was gonna say, for your like the performance, do you think you could have done something better looking back at it? What do you think was like your biggest weak point or like change that you could have done in that fight?
I think I should have pressed a little bit more, but I just got caught up on his rhythm. I said it in a lot of the interviews before.
Yeah.
I think I studied it so much to like
overthink maybe.
I just feel that like that's the way that Nelson works, you know.
Yeah.
Kyle Nelson is like a really, if you see him, if you really study him, he's like, okay, he just got this like overhand right, left body kick, high kick that he throws. And he make it work, and like I said it a few times, it's like he make it work with really good fighters.
Yeah.
And I was a really good fighter that night, you know. I guess. I really didn't find myself in the fight. I think I was landing a little bit more, but I don't know. I couldn't push a little bit better. I know myself, and I know I could like push a little bit better. I maybe put a little bit more of output.
Yeah.
Be more viable. I was just focusing on that jab cross, and then my cross. I think it was start like I wanted him. He had like a really high bar,
yeah.
So I wanted him to open it a little bit more. So I start throwing it like a little bit open my right hand, but I never switch it to the straight, and that kind of like fucked me up.
Can you like tell when you're in the middle of a fight? Like, can you like tell? Like, let's say before you go to the corner, you like before your coaches tell you something, you already know it. Like going to the corner, like what you should do, you still like.
I feel that you have to, as a fighter, at that level too, you need to correct yourself on the moments.
Yeah.
Like you cannot expect your coach to tell you or hear your coach or hear, like, you need to be able to recognize moment like that. And I mean, that's what separates, like, I think that's what makes levels in this game.
Yeah.
You know, when like a fighter starts being more individual and be like, okay, I recognize this, I can change it on the moment, on the fight. That depends. That makes a big difference, you know.
That is true. Now for your next fight, you're fighting the Apex. How do you feel about the next fight coming up?
Really good. I feel that it's a tough fight again. This guy is hungry. Luis Pajuelo. I mean, I have the same feeling that I had in the first fight. I feel that if I'm honest with you, in the build up to the fight for Nelson, I feel that I got really relaxed. I felt that like the fight, it was going to be more simple, like how I studied, like I tell you. And probably that was my mistake, you know, like I was still training hard, but it was more like relaxed about the training. And for this fight, it's just like my first UFC fight. I mean, just starving myself in some parts of my
diet.
No, not just my diet, but my life, you know.
Oh, okay.
I had to be more like constant in stuff and be more able to sacrifice, you know, like you have to sacrifice a little bit, like time or stuff, just to be like able to train more and also just be willing to train more, you know. Yeah. I feel that I've been just constantly in the gym, but like these last few weeks it's been like a little bit harder, a little bit more focused on the fight, a little bit more little pad sessions, like in the Italy with coach or with other coaches, just going by myself because I'm like in the house and I don't feel comfortable, like I want to train one more time, things like that, you know. It just comes and goes. It's I also train a lot, like my schedule is pretty tight, like so I feel that's a big difference for this fight. Like I mean, like just more ready, like I'm not getting comfortable at all. I'm not getting like, oh, it's not gonna be an easy fight. This guy is good. This guy is a good striker. He likes to brawl. He likes to get fights into brawls, and then he also tends to get the better out of the brawling. But I feel if I mix up my weapons well, good, and if I keep training how I'm training, like I'm keep a good pace during the 15 minutes that we're gonna have, and I'm gonna be able to finish him, you know. That's how I know myself.
You got a question?
So when you go into the match, do you have any like pre-match rituals you do, anything you do right before
I feel that training hard is really important. Really yeah. important because that's how I get so comfortable the day of the fight. Like I feel that being so relaxed, like I tell you, for example, for Kyle Nelson, the week of the fight, I tend to be more relaxed, and I felt that I was like kind of like hesitating in some areas. Like even mentally, I was like, I don't know, like just. And that's something that I didn't felt in my first fight. Like I trained so hard, and I trained every day, like every day. I trained every day to exhaustion. That like when I got in that fight week, I was like sure, like my body, my mind, everything, my whole self knew that like I'm ready for this, and I want this for this next fight too. Like I want to just like train myself every day to exhaustion to like make myself ready for that. Like everything, like my mind, you know, like okay, I train enough. Like oh, what if this happened? No, I train for it.
You know? For that, yeah.
So, and I think that's the biggest thing that I do. Other than that, like I don't have no rituals. I don't have
training. Like what else comes with the training? Like I know you put in the work in the gym, but what do you do maybe outside of the gym? You just eat well, things like that.
I mean the eating well is always important, but like when you train hard, like you tend to eat a lot. I don't think I eat like really bad because for example, I eat pokey, like, and then I eat like a bunch of pokey and then like I eat, we go to Korean barbecue. It's at the end of the day, it's a lot of protein and then carbs if you get the rice. I go to sushi, you know, like all you can eat sushi, but like, I don't think I really, really eat bad. Like I'm not constantly eating like, McDonald's or hood hamburgers are constantly from like, how do you say it? Drive-through spots. Like I'm kind of like I'm. So I don't consider myself to eat bad, but like I do eat however I want. Like I think I am a light 45er. Like I'm not like weighing 185 right now. So like I'm able to eat like that and still weigh 165 for like 6 weeks out of fight. You know, my diet starts like one out.
Okay.
So. That's pretty much it.
So that's what I was gonna ask. So like you're about like a month and a week away from your fight. Mm-hmm. So when you train from exhaustion, how passed out? Are you starting now, or you start like 4 weeks before? Like
we started as soon as the contract was signed.
Okay.
So like I'm telling you, 7 weeks. Let's say 7 weeks. The training from like let's say Wednesday started to be a little bit more hard, like okay. coach pick it up with me, like I pick it up myself, you know, and then everything just from there the 6 week got better, like just every time gets like a little bit stronger till like the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Then you have to like kind of let it go because of the weight cut is being a little bit more hard.
Yeah. And for sparring, are you like a big sparrer or are you just like
I do believe right now that with the level that I'm at right now, I still do need the sparring.
Okay.
I still need those hard rounds to just to feel comfortable. Like I told you, I feel that I'm not at that level like Max Holloway that he already have.
He says he does this or he does this?
He doesn't. I think in his last, I really don't recall how many, but his last fights, he said that like he doesn't spar for camps. But I feel that he already obtained so many minutes on the cage, like on the actual fight cage.
Yeah.
You know, that, like he feel that he don't need that. I understand that part. Where I'm at in my career, I still feel that I need those heavy rounds. You know.
Yeah. So young. So.
Yeah, I'm still 27. You know, I don't think I have those wars inside the cage that he have too. Like if you really go and see my record, I have a lot of first round finishes. A lot of my losses are being the 15 minutes that I've been on the cage, but I also learn out of them. And if you go and see them, like I really didn't get really beat up or really messed up. It was more like a grappling situation that I was just over and over in a bad position. And like, it is what it is. I got tired in a bunch of them. So it is what it is. And you learn from those mistakes, you know? So
the question was if you like you spar a lot or not, like if you have a sparring in training or not.
Yeah, I do feel that I need that sparring back. So like you learn from all of those things.
So we're going to do like a thing where you or him for like your opponent. Mm-hmm. So striking, who do you think is a better striker? You or him?
I consider myself a better striker, yeah.
Ground game.
I consider myself have a better ground game.
Endurance.
I think he have a little bit better endurance.
I think that's it. I was gonna say one more, but I'm not gonna say it.
So back to the fight. When you get like in the cage, in the octagon, everything's ready to go. What are you trying to? You trying to be relaxed in there? Or are you trying to be amped up? How are you trying to feel in there?
I think I always knowing myself. I personally prefer to be calm.
Okay.
The last fight, I got there too amped up, mm-hmm. and then I didn't perform how I wanted to perform.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think calm Fernando is a better Fernando.
Yeah.
And do you do anything mentally, like any mental preparation before the fight, like in terms of like meditating or like visualizing anything of that?
Yes. This came from my first coach back in Chihuahua. And he came since my first professional fight. He told me, I think in my amateur fights, he didn't feel that I needed this.
Uh-huh.
But I remember as soon as I got my first professional fight, he told me this. He's like, mentalize yourself as a winner. Like every situation of the fight, you're yeah. winning. Every situation you're winning. Like, let's say that you're like on your daily routine and you start thinking about the fight and you finish on a bad situation. It's like, don't yeah. stop the thought there. Keep thinking till you win. Like put yourself into a better situation. So always see every, obviously study your opponent and see every situation that can happen on a fight, how he can move, how he can finish you. And just think about that, how you can do it now. Like yeah. all these million ways that you can finish him, how he cannot do it. All these constant repetition till you win. And then, always try to go to bed thinking about you with your hand raised. Always, yeah. always. Nice. That's pretty much the mental preparation that my coach Mauricio showed me, and that's what I've been doing since that day, and it always helps.
Yeah. And for the film on the opponent, I always forget his name. So what was this, the opponent?
Luis Pajuelo.
Yeah. For Luis, have you like watched film? Are you watching film constantly? You just like watch film once, twice, the gym?
I'm not the type of guy who likes to like every day need to watch him.
Watch
but like
it, yeah.
I feel that once like when I'm going to spar before, mm-hmm. like just focus on certain stuff that like I want to see in other people. Let's say for example, if he's like a really good takedown, like he have a really good takedown, like just to go with guys in the gym who have really good takedown and yeah. like start seeing that live motion of a body just turn to take you down. Obviously, there's always times that you can replicate a guide, and there's always times that you can't. Like
yeah.
you probably don't have the teammates, or you probably don't have the material to do it. But I don't know. I think with these guys, he have a lot of fights on YouTube. Like
yeah.
his only fight in the UFC was in the Contender Series, and that also it's on ESPN.
Yeah.
So like, but at the same time, he can go and watch ESPN and watch my fights. You know, he can go to YouTube and watch my fights. So I feel that we're on the same level right now, similar. Like I've been watching a lot of his fights, and I hope it works. Like I hope it works.
How you think the fight's gonna go? Like how you think you're gonna win?
Yeah, I feel that you asked me who was a better striker, and
yeah.
I say me is I think I'm a better striker in terms that I have better, like more weapons, and I know
yeah.
how to use them. I just need to start using them a little bit more in during the fight. That's where I've been practicing for this fight, and I don't know. I feel that I can catch him with like a solid strike. I can probably counter him coming in into a punch, into a knee, you know, and
yeah.
I mean, I throw knees before in other fights, and I see them finishing people. So like, I'm really comfortable knowing that like, if I land a knee on your jaw, you're probably gonna be on the ground.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can see myself landing a knee on a comeback on a really good counter. You know, like he coming in, me moving around and landing a good knee, or probably one of those exchanges, he the condor into a knee. You know.
Yeah.
You win the fight. What's the first thing you do right after you win the fight?
I mean, go and celebrate with my family. At this point, I feel that before was different. It's been different during the time when I first won my fights back in Chihuahua when I was a professional over there. It was like go and celebrate with my friends, go and drink, you know, just be happy about it. And then these last ones that I've been here without able to go back home. I feel that now it's a pleasure, and it's like
you can say in Spanish.
I didn't even know this the word yeah. Spanish. It was like the time that I have with my parents is like really precious.
Yeah.
So like if I can spend it with them, like after I win, like after I give them that satisfaction of knowing that their son is good and stuff, it's always good. You know, I like to spend them with them the most that I can. Obviously. With my girl, with my friends too, you just talk about the fight, you just talk about everything in life, you know. I feel that life moves so fast when you're in the camp. Like, well, for me, yesterday was 7 weeks ago. Like 8 weeks ago, you know, like these last weeks been passing so fast just because, like I said, I just train constantly until like I come home and I'm just tired and I just want to sleep.
Yeah. You
know? Like, and the next day, wake up, do the same thing. Till night. So yeah, it's like after the fight, you can really sit down and relax. And I feel that even when you're with your people, you can do that. So yeah, that's for me, that's the most important thing.
And for fights for this year, how many fights are you looking to?
This year?
Yeah.
Oh,
four. If it was a perfect world, how many fights would you
at least want? Four. Like if I can win this one and then get one probably on June or July. And then get the September 16 card, and then probably one in December. Perfect. That would be perfect four. That would be a perfect world. That would be amazing. If I can get more than four, I'm even better. Even better. Hell yeah.
Is it hard to get a fight for your management? Like, how does that work?
I don't think I'm in that point right now. Like, I feel that also the roster is pretty good in 45. It's a really tight division. So. Yeah. I feel that right now I can find really good opponents. If for me it's not being hard, it's just a question of right now when just about telling them when I was ready after the last fight. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell you like I stopped training for like a month, but like after that it's just checking on dates and that's it. Yeah, he's not being hard right now. Honestly,
okay, I see.
Sean Shelby's the best. He's been booking me good fights. I honestly think the last two fights that I had were really good.
Yeah.
And I think this next fight too, you know, it's going to be a war. This guy likes to bring it on. And that's what I like to do too.
Do you watch UFC fights like on your free time? Like, do you sit and watch them? Like, did you watch the last card yesterday?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I don't like to say that I watch them religiously, but I do watch them. Like, I feel the people really like, for example, I missed the first two fights of the card. So like
you're not watching from start to end.
Like sometimes I do sometimes. Yeah. Like, bro, I don't have nothing else to do and okay, we have to watch them. Or like they're really good fights since the beginning, or there's guys on 145 that I want to watch. So like sometimes it happens, but not like, oh, I have to watch it every Saturday. Like, it is what it is, you know.
At 145, what would you say your dream fight is?
Max Holloway? Yeah, right now, yeah.
And when you got into the UFC, or even before you got to the UFC, did you, like, plan, like, and not in, maybe in years or maybe in fights, like, in this many fights I want to be ranked, or in this many years I want to be ranked, and in this many years I want to be champion, or, like, you ever planned out at all?
Yeah, obviously you have a plan. I feel that a dream without, like, a date or something is just gonna go bad. As you have to like set goals, like little term goals, and it always has to be like that. And I feel that when I came to America, I feel I told my parents like, hey, give me 4 years.
Okay.
Give me 4 years. I get in the UFC. Obviously, it took me a little bit more than 4 years, but not because of my lack of fighting or because I wasn't able to be there. It was more of like situations and like that happened in my life, But I was there, you know, 4 years. I kind of made it, if you want to count it like that. And then right now, obviously, I got into the UFC. Last year, I said I wanted to fight at least twice, and I did. And at least, you know, it was really good. I feel that I got in a good point too in my life, not just in my career, but like I feel comfortable to a point that like, okay, time to fight again. Let's go do it. And I don't know, man. It's a good life. It's not hard to get fights. And I mean, again, I fight for the UFC. Sometimes I just wake up and Wow.
So you got your foot in the door. So once you have your foot in the door, that's just like, especially for the UFC, because yeah. Did you have offers from like Bellator and PFL after you, before?
Before, yes. I think like 2 years before the UFC called me, the PFL offered me a contract. But like, I was like, no, I do want to get in there. Like, for me, it's a dream. UFC has always been the dream.
Yeah, you see everybody say that because there's still good level fighters, but it's never like the same for like magnitude of like marketing and all that for the UFC.
Yeah,
it's like the NFL, crazy. Pretty much.
Exactly. Pretty much. It's like the NFL. It's there's nothing like it. There's nothing like that. Like I don't know if there's another sport where a company is so dominant like the UFC. You know, yeah. That like people even really feel that like the best fighters in the world is there.
Yeah.
You know. There's cases, obviously Bellator have really good fighters. There's PFL has been developing really good fighters, but yeah, like I feel that the eyes are always
on the UFC.
It's always been my dream too, you know, so.
Yeah, I know you mentioned your parents a lot. How did they feel about you wanting to fight for a career? Because I know like growing up in a Mexican household, all you're like, tienes que estudiar. How did they feel?
They didn't like it at the beginning. Obviously, I think my dad, before being my biggest supporter, he was my biggest hater. I never really hate his comments. I feel that it always came from a good place, his heart, because he wasn't harsh about like, oh no, that's just stupid. Like you're like, no, estás tonto, güey. Like it's muy pendejada. Like, he wasn't like that. He was more like, no, son, like they're really athletes, you know, like they do this and that and this and that. And I'm like, Dad, I'm in the gym almost 4 hours a day every day just because like you guys like leave me there. So like, I don't mind. Like yeah, one day I'm gonna get there. And then I guess like just with time, I proved them wrong. That like I proved my, at least my dad, that like, and he wasn't even proved him wrong. It was just showing him that I actually care about something that much,
yeah. You know?
Because I always was in like a lot of sports and I feel that I never really took it that serious, or I did a lot of stuff and never really took it that serious. I mean, like I was growing up,
yeah.
And, but I like fighting was always there since I was a little kid. And when I just stepped in the gym, that was my choice. That's what I choose to do. And that's what I wanted to do all my life. And nowadays it's completely different. Like I feel my dad is, I tell you, is my biggest supporter. He saw that what I choose, it was what I was gonna also not just I choose it and he's like, oh, I hope it happens. It was like I've been working, I've been putting balls and then times and sweat and hours and tears and this and I mean it's like I say, like he can say that he always wanted an NFL player. Right. As his son, but like he told me in my last fight, he's like, I'm happy that now I can say that my son is at the level of an NFL player. Like yeah. My son is in the UFC.
Yeah,
and that feels good though. That feels amazing.
Did you feel like he ever doubted you at one point?
Yeah. Hell yeah, bro.
Like this is it. Like
I will never forget one day, bro. We were on vacations. We were in Cancun. We were on the hotel. And the hotel room, and we were watching the Ultimate Fighter. Uh-huh. Or no, Dana White looking for a fight. That's crazy. It's crazy that I got in there. Like, you're making me think about this, and life is so crazy. We were watching in the TV, Dana White looking for a fight. The episode when he, I think he gets fucking, Magic, the Johnson, I think is my, what's it?
Mighty Mouse?
It's not Mighty Mouse, but he fought with Mighty Mouse. It's the guy that is, I forgot his name, but it was the episode where he was like going and he was going to his gym to look for him and all these things. And, I remember I was telling my dad, I'm gonna be there one day. And he was like, son, like I say, the athletes, look at him. He trains 6 hours a day. He trains like this is his job. It's like, you're just a kid. It's just your hobby. I will never forget that. He really meant it. You know, he wasn't playing around or nothing. He like really, really kind of like meant it that time. And, it was harsh. It was really harsh, but, like I say, I mean, like years after that, I was already fighting. Yeah. I was already like.
How old were you in that when he told you that?
I think I was like 15.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, I started boxing by myself, and then like a year after that, I got into like MMA training, and then a year after that, I got in my first amateur fight. Yeah. So like, I feel that day, you know, like time just proved me wrong.
Yeah,
like, I wanted to.
Time is undefeated. For you started in boxing, you started in MMA.
So it's a funny story because it's a funny story because I was in middle school and then I was like saving some money and my they were giving me for Reese's, my mom and my dad, and obviously like I was saving it, and then I skipped school to go to a closed gym. There was a gym that was close by from my school, and KO gym, and it was a nice gym. It was we call it Fresitas over there in Mexico. It was a nice gym, bro. It was really nice, but it was really expensive. Yeah, and I feel that it was just more like cardio stuff, you know. Like, yeah, they were just trying to like sell it like cardio boxing, you know. And I started there. I was there for like 6 months or less, like 4 months. I want to say 4 months if I'm not wrong, because the money didn't really last me. it was really expensive. And then after that, that same December, something happened in my like family, in my life, and not my family, but some people tried to jump my dad on Christmas Day. And all the Padilla family came out and we like beat them up and stuff. It's a crazy story. And because of that, that same year after that, I told my mom, is like, hey, I if that happened again, I just don't want to go like beat people up just for beat people up. It's like, I want to know how to be safe in that situation. And because my mom was the biggest step to say yes. My dad wasn't telling me not to train. It was more like not to that because your mom don't want. So like when I convinced my mom, it was like, okay, green light. So as soon as my mom said, okay, yes, you're right. I already knew the gym, I already knew where I wanted to go, I already knew what it is. And we went and I just my mom fucking signed
it, yeah. Boom,
training every day.
So my other question would be like, coming from Mexico, where like has a lot of history of boxers, why were you why not just be a boxer instead of MMA?
I don't know. I when I was boxing, when I those 4 months that I was boxing, I really really liked it. Like, huh. I'm gonna be honest. Like, I love boxing. I feel that my hands are like my number one weapon. But I always felt that necessity for more.
Okay.
In every single sport that I was, I always felt that necessity for more, like American football, soccer, like even the little bit that I did, I said it over there, the tennis, like, I don't know, whatever that I practiced, like, I never really felt that it was enough.
Okay.
And when I was boxing, it was the same thing. When I stepped in the mat, it was like on MMA, I was like, oh, this is what I want.
Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu, just kicking, you know, like, I don't know, I think it was for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. For jiu-jitsu, how good is jiu-jitsu right now?
My jiu-jitsu, yeah. I feel that like I'm a black belt, but I mean, I still have my brown belt.
Okay.
But it's just a question of getting a coach. It's just a question of getting into like a, because during my time in Oyama, I've been changing a lot of jiu-jitsu coaches. So I never really had like a solid jiu-jitsu instructor in my last 7 years here.
Okay.
So I feel that that's just why I never went to my black belt. That's a personal goal that I have, obviously, still. But I still do jiu-jitsu. I train jiu-jitsu like constantly. So it doesn't go down. That's still the same level. I'm still going up and up and up. Just I consider my jiu-jitsu pretty good.
Okay.
So when you're on the ground and you're like getting, you know, trying to do your matchup on the ground, what are you thinking of doing? You're trying to take the top, take the back. What is your main goal here? Where are you comfortable?
My main is obviously the back. That if you see my past fights, I have a bunch of triangle submissions and dead orchard submissions. My guard game is really good. I feel that my guard game is pretty active. But recently, with all these years that I've been adding wrestling and more wrestling into my game, my top game has been getting really big, really, really, really good. So if I don't get you when I'm, if I don't get you with all my bothering with my legs in the bottom, I feel that I get you to sweep. And then when I get on top of you, it's a completely different game. I've been developing that game better. I feel that I'm more heavy. I'm able to hold people. And I mean, I'm long for a reason.
Yeah.
So
you rather have a submission or a one punch knockout?
I always like knockouts, you know, but I feel that I also a submission is a way of like, hey, he say, she say he don't want it. He say he don't want it anymore. So,
I guess we could talk a little bit about the, I want to talk about a little bit about last night's card, like Volks. I don't know if you saw My question, do you think he's like past this? Do you think he's still come back, like shake back after the Islam knockout? Like, I feel like as a fighter, once you get like, your confidence shook, it's like hard to come back.
I mean, it always depends. I don't think he's weak-minded, to be honest with you. So yesterday, I don't think it was a question of like prime bulk or nothing of that. It was just a mistake of game plans. I felt that Bulk was really focused on that left kick, and he probably thought that he was going to work. And what can you say? He's a champ, you know. He was chopping that leg. He was chopping that body, and I think he thought the left kick to the body was gonna stop the right hand from coming. Right? Some in those moments, bro, when it's like such like good fighters in both sides, they both, like I say, they both making little changes in every single aspect. And I feel that the one who made the adjustments better there was Ilya. Every single time from the first time in the first round with Bulk was kicking, Ilya's right hand was really far away. Bulk was pulling back. So I feel that gave Bulk really big confidence in like, I'm just gonna pull back, the right hand is never gonna land. And then in at the end of the first round, the right hand wasn't this far away, it was this far away. So right in the second round, he started again, I'm gonna land this left kick. And I feel that right when the second round started, that right hand already got too close to come forward. Like, it wasn't just this close, it was like like touching Bulk's nose. And then Bulk didn't make the change, and Ilya just stepped in with that right hand till the point that he landed to put him back, and then he switched angles, throw it again, and it was already close. You know?
Yeah.
It was already close. I think it was just a question of that. Bulk really believed it in his game plan, and he didn't really saw those tiny changes or when the right hand was getting closer. And that just cost him the loss. But I don't think the last fight with Islam, he took it with short notice. Yeah. He was honest about it, bro. I was drinking. I wasn't really professional about my camp. So, like, can you really tell that he's not in his prime? It's just like, Ilya's really good, too. You know, Ilya's a really good fighter. It's not like he lost against, let's say, for example, Darren Elkins. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he already beat Darren Elkins once. Like, well, he shouldn't be losing to him again, right? Mm-hmm. So, it's really questionable. It's really questionable. But also what Ilya says is really true. I feel that opening space to new competitors is always good. You know, it's just time to move on sometimes.
What do you think was going to win?
I got Bulk. I got it Bulk. Yeah. But it is what it is.
Who is your favorite fighters in the UFC?
Myself, obviously. I think Jon Jones always going to be one of them as a fighter. It's one of the best. Easy, and Nick Diaz. Oh, also Carlos Condit, obviously. Shout out to Carlos Condit, bro. Carlos Condit, one of the best. Underrated, though.
Do you have a question?
So if you were to build like your ultimate fighter, like how would you build? So let's say in terms of speed, who do you think is the quickest?
I don't know, man. And that's a crazy question, because I think I'm the ultimate fighter. You know, like, again, like if you really ask me who's my favorite fighter right now, I will answer as I'm on myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I build myself up to that point where like I am my favorite fighter.
Do you guys take like things from other fighters to build your game, or do you always just feel like you're just like your own original fighter?
No, I feel like you also need to take from other people. Like Bruce Lee always said, take what works with you and just take out what doesn't. And the game evolves, and you need to evolve with the game, and that's part of the game. You know, you need to see how other people do things. You need to copy those things. Do it for your style, because look, I can watch Henry Cejudo being the best wrestler alive, but I'm not gonna be at his size, or I'm not gonna have like the amount of levers that he have when he just get down like this in your legs. You know, like I cannot do that. I'm tall. I need to fight tall. You know, so I can copy him some stuff, but then it would be better for me to watch Jon Jones, you know, things like that. So, but yeah, you always have to learn. You need to be open to learn.
Is there anybody that you met that surprised you, maybe how they looked in person, or like, this person looks so much different than what I've seen him on TV?
Yeah, the first time that I saw Chuck Liddell, I knew he was a big man, but when I saw him, I was impressed, bro, because it's just like, you never imagine a human being having that frame, you know? Mm-hmm. He's like really humongous. Like, he's like just a big human in general, and then like big hands, like, they're like, oh, wow. Like, you don't look this big on TV, man. Hey, that's crazy. I think just him, pretty much. Francis Ngannou was pretty impressive to see. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a human being. That's a human. Bro, that guy is a specimen, bro. He can completely different specimen, bro. Like, it's just, he's built like, bro, like, how are you that big? Like, how are you that big? You know? Like impressive man, you know. But other than that, I think that's pretty much it. The first time that I saw Henry Cejudo and his coach, this is funny, and it's not disrespect to them, but right there, I thought they were kids. I was watching some fights, right? Uh-huh. And then they passed like this, and I'm like just watching the fights, and I really thought with my peripherals they were just kids like walking down me. Mm-hmm. And one of my teammates just knocked me, and I was like, what happened? He's like, do you see Henry Cejudo, his coach? And I'm like, no, like, oh, wonderful. That was impressive too. You never expect them to be that short.
What's the best and worst thing about your job?
Best and worst thing about my job. The best thing about my job is that it's my dream.
Yeah.
It's my dream, obviously. And the worst thing about my job is obviously it's not gonna be forever. So I have to take advantage of my momentum. I have to take advantage of how much time I have left in this career that I love. You know, I really love this. And I think, thank God, like we were talking earlier, I don't have the wars the other people have. Mm-hmm. So like I'm able to probably have them later in my career where I have the important fights for them. That's pretty much it.
Do you want to get into war like when you're in the cage?
That's why I always look for that. Like if you really go and see my fights, like I never... If I have submissions finishes, it's because they take me down. I never really shoot a takedown. I have thing I want takedown, and that is against Kurt Kinister. I think probably Kurt Kinister or the Alpha Ginger. But other than that, I never shoot it. I shoot a takedown. I like to get into brawls. So like I feel like that's the Mexican part of me. Like I really like to fight. Yeah. I really like to fight.
For the Mexican card, you said you couldn't get on it. How hard did you try to get on it?
I really didn't. No, I really didn't. No. I knew I cannot go out of the country. So here's a decision of going back to Mexico and then they'll come back to America, or actually be fighting here for a little bit, take my time, and then I'll be able to travel back there and fight later on. But like right now, it's a better decision.
Yeah, good to use
that. Yeah. Also with the September cards being on Vegas, like it's another Mexican card in Vegas. Yeah,
and that's gotta be in the sphere. Have you ever
never, but I see it. But I see it the last time that I was there, that's crazy, man. So that now imagine if I get to fight there, amazing.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy. But for all the Mexican teammates, how close are you with the rest of the like fighters that are like Mexican? Do you train with them often?
Or? Not really. Like I saw that Oyama is pretty singular. Like I have my roommate that is Robert Romero. He fights for Combate Global. I think he's pretty much my brother, honestly. So like he's the Mexican that I am with. Other than that, I'm really cool with all of the Mexicans. I know Loco Torres because we pretty much grow up training together. Not like
from my 15, so when I started training, I saw him training, so we started together in Chihuahua, and now they were in the UFC. That's crazy. Yeah. I never met Jair, but we have a few conversations by phone, and Jair Rodriguez is obviously one of the best. And I know Brandon Moreno always been really cool with me, one of the best tattoo as a person too. He's clean as a man. And who else? Like, I mean, all the people that I met over there in Noche, UFC Noche, but none of them were like bad people at all. Yeah. Like, I love them all. Like, it was really cool, real conversations. I'm cool with them.
Yeah.
Do you feel a lot of pressure, like all the kids in your hometown and even in Mexico looking up to you as a UFC fighter?
Yeah, obviously. But it's something that I've been saying it in my past interviews and in the fights. I feel that just coming out of Mexico and not having all that pressure has been with me since I came out of there. So it's like, it's a backpack that I always carry with me, and it's not extra weight. It's just, it's motivation, you know. It's there because I have people looking up on me, not just there now, but like here in America too, and in the world, you know. Like, I mean, we're the UFC's worldwide.
What's the biggest risk you've taken in your career so far?
Just traveling here to America, you know, like, yeah, completely without really knowing the language by myself. So like, I thought that's pretty much the biggest one of the risks that I take, and it was a good risk to take.
Yeah, it's always hard leaving your hometown.
Yeah,
risk is definitely big.
It's crazy.
You speak really good English. How did you learn English here?
Pressure. No. When I came here, I was Alex Perez was my roommate, and I remember he hear me saying like a little sentence in English, and he say, "Oh, you speak English?" I say, "A little bit." And he say, "I never speak in English to you." And then obviously Coach calling, he don't speak Spanish. So it was learning or going back to Chihuahua. Chihuahua.
Did you go to school or how did
you? Yeah. I mean, during Chihuahua, I was in private school, in middle school and high school.
Okay.
So like, high school and the little bit of a university that I did, but like the English that they show you there is like everything you have to go with. You have to go with all the classmates. So like verb to be and past tense, that's everything that you see. And then from there, like not everyone wants to put the same attention. So you really don't pass from there. it is what it is. But when I came here, like I feel that all that education kind of came in handy. But something that I do, that I know that they helped me a lot for a fact, was listening to music. I really like music, like a lot. And my dad knows a lot of music too, a lot of 80s music, rock and roll and heavy metal. And he always sing them really good. So I always would like to sing them like him. And like, I just like lyrics. And yeah, I just learned, I guess.
If you could trade places with anybody in the world, would you?
Nah.
Yeah, after hearing like the footers, like, yeah, no, that's
dumb. But that's good, bro. I would not, probably if you asked me this 7 years ago, I would be like, yeah, hell yeah.
You think your fighting style mimics another fighter? Like before you, how do you?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I don't like it, you know, but it's not that I don't like it because it sucks. You can say it's a really good fighter, but a lot of people tend to compare me to Carlos Condit. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, I understand why. But I am myself, you know. I think I have a peculiar style myself. I think I have little things that other people don't have, and it's just a question of time, you know. Yeah. Question of time, people will see it.
What do you want to show the UFC audience next week? Like, did you ever show before?
Just make a statement. Obviously, yeah. That like I'm not here to play around. Like, I really want to finish this guy. I really want this money. I really want to just get better in life and pursue that dream. You know, like I'm gonna be the world champion, and I know it, and I want to be there. So it's just a question of like keep doing statements. You know,
yeah.
At the end of the day. The winner is the one who write history, you know.
Yeah.
It's there's the one that they interview after, is all these things, you know. And it's funny to say, but like as a fighter, you need to be able to crave those things too. Because if you don't crave winning, bro, like, why are you craving? You know what I think?
Yeah.
Why are you doing this for? Like, I really, like, I hate losing. I really hate losing, like, that I lose the last one. I hate how it happened. I hate watching, like the repetition. And then, like, I find myself screaming at the TV, like, hey, do this. But, like, hey, man, it's like, that's how you learn. Live to learn.
How long did it take for you to get over that last fight?
Not much, you know, like, obviously I still watch it and it's like, eh, but you live to learn, and thank God that I'm alive to like, You never know, probably one day in the future I might get my rematch against Kyle and it will be completely different, but right now I just have to take it and move on to the next one.
Yeah, that is true. Because I felt like leading up to that fight, I don't respect that, but I felt like he was honest, like, it looked like he lost that fight, he might have been out of the UFC. Because, like,
it's crazy because he was winning. His fight before that, he fought against Blake Builder and he won. Another prospect, I guess. It's weird. Sometimes things like that happen. I think he was mentally ready. He was there. More ready than me because he had already fights on big stages with more people, and that's where he went. You know, because I feel that inside the cage he really didn't like do more also to win. Like he didn't like really took me out. Like what he was thinking that he was gonna do probably didn't work as well. Like the takedowns. So like I'm more comfortable with getting a rematch than him.
One question I did want to ask, but leading up to the media, I feel like you're probably one of the most liked prospects. And like everybody talks about how like you get to the media room, you shake everybody's hand, and you leave, you shake everybody. Where did you like get that from? It's just like growing up.
Yeah, I think it's just me. It's Mexican culture always going, or Latino culture, I guess. Always go and say hi to everyone on the table. Be presentable, I love what I'm doing and where I'm at right now too. So like being grateful, and I feel that just embrace all the moment, you know. Yeah. You never know who you're shaking hands with also. Yeah. So in the future, one of those people probably is gonna be like bigger, or I'm gonna be bigger, and they just wanna help me, or they can help me, things like that. You never know, you know, like life goes, life is crazy. So I always believe that being a good person is always better and it's easier than being a bad person. So go with respect towards everyone. If you don't respect me back, well, that's different. But I always like that. I'm always like that.
Best advice you ever got in your career? Best and worst advice?
Be yourself. I think be yourself is the best advice that I got. I don't think I really hear like a bad advice till right now. If I hear it, I really didn't remember it because I don't follow it. Yeah, just be yourself and work hard, man. This sport is not an easy sport. If you just think that like you're gonna go there and knock out people just because you're mad, like a competition. It is rough. Even like knocking out people is rough. These people like do it and look like magicians. They train every day for hours and hours and hours. Like we just do that every day, and that's the secret. Just keep training hard, and that's a good, like, I think advice that was given to me, and advice that you should be given to everyone. Train hard towards your dreams and everything, you know.
Yeah. Just to go off for some, I guess, some fun questions. We could do just like this one or this one.
Mm-hmm.
So rather kind of question. So tacos or birria?
Tacos.
Chile verde o chile rojo?
¿Cómo?
Chile verde o chile rojo?
I like salsa roja, chile rojo.
Okay.
Yeah.
You like three more.
We'll do mariscos or carne asada.
Oh, that's a hard one. I go with carne asada. I can't leave the carne asada. I don't know if I can leave with just mariscos.
That is true.
That is fine, yeah. You know, like once a week, you know.
Soccer or football?
Right now in my life where I'm at, I have football.
Yeah, that's fair. You catch a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I did.
Who are you going for?
I was going for the 49ers because of my roommate, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, but that was, oh my God, my whole zip and my home
thing. truck or car?
It depends. If it's a the old school OJ, the Bronco, yeah, I like a truck.
No, you can sell one.
Bro, sick old trucks. I don't know. Right now, I also like that car.
You have a dream car?
Beetle, Bocho, the old school Bocho.
Oh, okay.
The old school Beetle.
Nice.
I was gonna ask, what's the weirdest job you ever had? But Jovi's been a UFC fighter.
Yes and no. I had weird jobs. One of them I really cannot talk about, but nothing bad, nothing like crazy, like nothing like narco traffic or nothing like that. Not really, never really been into delinquency at all. but I don't know. I feel that, for example, when 2020 hit, I feel that it is weird. For everyone to get something out of what they're comfortable with, and I'm not. I mean, like I did everything, but working on the car wash, you know, when I was already feeling that I was established as a fighter too, that was kind of crazy. I don't feel that it was hard. I mean, it works work. If I have to work in the future again, I have to do it. But it was just a funky time in the world, and I feel that that was like just a funky everything. It was like a reset 2020, 2021. And I was working on a car wash and on a gas station. That was kind of like,
okay. Something we don't know about you.
Something that you guys don't know about me. I don't know, bro. I collect cards. I feel that that's something that I've been doing for the last year, and a lot of people don't know. So I've been collecting cards, and I like that.
And then, what message you have for like young fighters?
Keep training hard, and like I say, work hard for your dreams. Are the third and first your dreams too? There's no cheat code. There's no like. There's no really a road that is shorter than others. It's just a question of working hard, and that's it.
And then, message you have for the UFC fan for your next.
Tune in. I've been working hard, and I'm ready to like fuck this guy up. So, respectfully, you know.
Yeah, it should be. So, yeah, pretty much does it. I think we answered all the questions.
We do have one thing that we brought for you.
Oh,
I don't know if you're.
I do. Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Hey, yo.
Yeah, we also have like a small care pack, like shirt.
I appreciate you guys.
Go ahead and shift over.
Let me know.
Yeah,
I start wearing it. I start wearing it. Thank you. No, thank you guys. Let me know as soon as you. Hey, I appreciate that.
Of course, man.
Thank you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Nah, I appreciate you guys. This is gonna be the celebration shot. Thank you so much.